All righty. The whole thing about despise not the chastening of the Lord, for whom he loveth, he chasteneth. I just found out something. That there's a reading. No. There's a reading that's done on every fast that relates to this. And it's so we need to add it to all the fast memos. But, and it's interesting, it's the word for correction in our chastisement in Hebrew is tokeha. And the section of the, you know, each of the sections in the Torah readings have a particular name. Well, the name for the section that is read at every fast day is tokeha, which is this idea of correction or curses. And the intent is that when you read it, you can't help but read it honestly and not be put in the fear of God. When you read them, they are not to be divided when they are read. They must be read by one person. And it's normally, you know, it's just seven verses kind of thing. But this one is unique. It's Leviticus 26:14-45 and Deuteronomy 28:15-68. And they are called the chapters of curses. And as I said, they were to be read on all fast days. The Deuteronomy section is considered more severe since it contains no verses of consolation and it is in the present tense grammatically. In the later times, and including today, poor people only read these. And they did this in lieu of giving money. And what they tried to do is they tried to mutter them or read them real low. And when they did that, the rabbis would call out, "My child, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord." And so, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, and you could interrupt the readings for expansions on the tale or whatever, but you had to read them. One person had to read them. So what we're going to do today is read the section in Leviticus, and tomorrow we'll read the section in Deuteronomy. And then they should be repeated during the readings for the Fast of Esther on Saturday. All right? But Leviticus 26. What? No. Well, maybe you can. Maybe it was a really big amount. Well, for us, a huge amount would be like $20. Now, they didn't. And look at, go to 26:1. And it's the verse 1 and 2, "You shall make no idols or graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land or bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary, I am the Lord." And then the next, from verse 3 to verse 14, or through verse 13, are the blessings, but we don't read those today. So, starting in verse 14, I did too much physical therapy yesterday. Kevin, would you read?
Despise
chapter 26, starting verse 14. And you can... you can... No. All right.
But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning behind you, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. Ye shall sow your seed in vain, and your enemies will eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. That they hate you, they that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. And if you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. Always his high places.
Yeah.
And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary to me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you, and shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered unto the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied. And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat.
Okay. I spent many years studying the law. And that's why it's so easy for me, or relatively easy, to abandon myself, because I know that the purpose of the law is to shut up your mouth, all your mouths. And I know that the only one that fulfilled the law is Jesus Christ. And so I know that I, because as you read this, you've got to let it hit in, because, or enter in, because it's not for another generation or a past dispensation. It is always true, and we, though, have a better way, His way, and that can only be revealed in your abandonment. And it's critical that you understand this, because this crap about, you know, God wants you happy and fulfilled and healthy and rich and happy, it's just goofy. Nobody that has any understanding of the scriptures would ever preach that, because it denies Christ. And so if you're walking contrary to Him, that means you're walking your own way. You're doing what you're doing and thinking whatever comes to you, as opposed to being in rest at all times. You see, are you starting to maybe see this a little bit more? And that's why Paul said over and over, I write unto you that know the law. What?
Oh, I just realized John Butcher wasn't it.
No. He left Friday. He's gone all week.
All right. Anybody have any response to anything thus far?
Yeah, just, you know, I was thinking that this not only is Christ the only one who really was not subject to this curse, but he was subject to it in the fact that he took it all.
I mean,
all the things it's talking about all hit him, you know, all these terrible things, that's the
right.
What happened on the cross.
Right, but he didn't die for you. He died for the Father. It's good news to God. It's the worst news in history to the human race. All right?
Continue. He died for the bride.
Well, he died for the Father's purpose.
For his purpose.
He always and ever subjected or subjected his will to the will of the Father. So he had no will save the will of the Father. All right? Okay, continue. 30.
And I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries into desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. I will bring the land into isolation, desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen and draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemies' land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into the hearts and the lands of your enemies. And the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall upon another, one upon another, as it were before a sword when none pursueth. Ye shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. But they shall confess their iniquity, and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they trespassed against me, and that they also have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and then accept a punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them. They shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because even because they despise my judgments, and because that their soul abhorred my statutes, and yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the I might be their God, I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses.
All right, now, just turn to Deuteronomy 28 a minute. Yeah. Now, in Deuteronomy, remember Deuteronomy means the second law. When Israel came out of Egypt and they stood before Mount Sinai, and receive the law, then the idea here is that then the reason that there's consolations about repentance, etc., here is because they still had time to repent, because God knew that they were going to be in the wilderness for 39 more years. Now, Deuteronomy means the second law. And it, just before they entered the promise, all the issues of the law were repeated. And there is no provision for this consolation or repentance, because it's it can't happen. You can't be in the land and be in this state of rebellion.
It's like the early and the latter rain.
Yeah. You understand?
The two Baptists.
Well, what is there then if there's no provision for repentance?
You're not, if you're not in the state of rest and peace, that means you're not in the promise. And all the discussions about everything are meaningless. If you're still thinking in terms of time, then you can't be in the promise. You can't be a recipient of the promise. It just defines where your rebellion has kept you from Egypt to the edge of the promise.
I was thinking, you said that there's no provision in Deuteronomy for repentance.
Right, because that's, you can't, you,
if you're hearing Deuteronomy, you're screwed.
Well, you got to hear this. You can't think about this in time again. Everything in the scriptures are about location of sphere, this idea. This, from the moment you were born, from the moment the earth was created, you were seated with him on the mercy seat in the New Jerusalem. Your real identity. Your real you. The picture of Israel's travel from Egypt to the Promised Land, to Jerusalem, to the mercy seat, is the picture of that completed journey that you have already, if you're in him, have finished. This whole process of the travel is simply to show us where we are on the journey. Remember, most people are still in Egypt. I'm not saying they're not saved or not. That's not the point. They're in Egypt, cowering under the blood, waiting for something to happen. And then a few have been baptized and they've left Egypt. But the evidence that they've left Egypt is there's no more isolated, the salvation of the isolated self. Because once they've left Egypt in baptism, there's a new creation. And a few are standing at the foot of Mount Sinai waiting to understand what's going to happen to them. You know, at every stage of the book of Numbers, it defines where you are because of your rebellion. And at any time, you can go instantly from your rebellion to the mercy seat. But it's everything. Boom. Is that communicating?
Yeah. And if you're hearing this conversation, it's time.
Right. Every time. This is an opportunity for you to have full repentance. Question is, do you have the courage to have full repentance? Are you going to still play in your little dreams and ideas? You still want to play around in the world? If you don't see that, then this will not produce fear. It will not produce awe. Therefore, it will not produce repentance. Peace. There is nothing that you can conceive of in your mind that has anything to do with this. Except your rebellion. In fact, there's nothing in this Bible about you except your rebellion. Now, isn't it time for the rebellion to be over? That's why these are read on each fast day, praying that the purpose of the fast would cause you to come to the end of yourself. Not to improve or to understand something more or to... It's not going to happen. This is real serious, folks. Just think, if by one offering you've been perfected forever, think of how many times you've complained yesterday or today. Think of how many times you've thought about making things different or planned some course of action. That's why we account the long suffering is salvation.
Just thinking that the fear of God comes on me when I consider that maybe the reason time exists and these morning meetings are happening every day is he's waiting for me.
That's right. Yeah. To repent.
And the mind says he's waiting for somebody else, but
mm-hmm. No, it has to be you. That's why you got to hear this. I had the unique experience for almost 5 years of thinking I was the only one in the world that saw this. That was the most frightening thing that I've ever experienced. Because of the experience, I knew that it was truth. I mean, there was no question. I didn't doubt it or question it. Or I didn't accept him conditionally. But everybody else that I'm sure I wasn't the only one in the world, but I thought I was because I couldn't find anyone that agreed. Now, the way in which you have to see this is that if you were the only one in the world, would you still be faithful to it? To abandoning yourself, of never helping yourself, of living in 100% dependence on him? This has to hit you at a place maybe deeper than you've ever even dreamed of.
Isn't this what Jesus went through, and acknowledging awareness of who he was, the weight of his path?
Yes, but with him, it was over when he was baptized. That's his baptism. He was buried as Son of Man. That's why the cross. That's why the. But in his baptism, it wasn't over at his baptism, which it should have been, or could have been. Instead, he gave us 42 months from his baptism to the crucifixion. And that period of 42 months represents his long suffering to usward. It's the mystical period between your baptism and you really knowing you're dead. Understand that? I'm so thankful that I found this. I mean, I never knew that these were the, you know, we've got those readings in Exodus about the 13 virtues of God that are read at every fast. But I hadn't studied deeply enough to know that these were the readings that were the real readings at the fast. You got to stop believing in sloppy agape. That's basically it.
Yeah, there's not much to tell.
Anybody else have any response? Well, tomorrow, you can study ahead if you'd like to, but it's tomorrow morning we'll read chapter 28, verses 15 to 68.
And these are the readings that we would read before
every fast.
Every fast during the afternoon.
Well, what it should be is the readings that you read privately over and over again, if there's any free time, so that this begins to penetrate the hard heart, so that you can see that you're dead. Unless you're dead and Christ lives, you have no hope. Well, we have a couple of minutes, and we'll start again at the beginning, but. In verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall thou be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall I be when thou comest in, and cursed shall I be when thou goest out. Now, you got to hear, look at the first one. You observe to do. Observe to do. If you can hear, what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. And that's why we're made like we are. But you can't hear as long as there's the slightest interest in yourself. Then your ear is not circumcised. Because you can't hear, then you can't see. So you cannot observe to do, and all this will just be more stuff that you'll ignore. So Purim, we meet at 2:00 for the readings, and I want you to include these readings for Purim.
And these curses that we're reading are not, it's not a capricious deity like Zeus saying, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to do this to you because I want to do it. It's a loving father saying, this is the result of not observing.
This is the fruit of the
this
curse.
This is what is.
This is what is.
And I'm trying to save you.
I'm trying to get your attention to see that you have invented yourself. And that your images of self and your images of the world are made up. You have created them. I created me. There is nothing about any of us that has any merit. It's because it is a masquerade. That's why the parable of the golem in Jewish mythology, to show you that you've just been created of clay. And you've been molded and added, and you keep adding little things to it until you finally define something that can survive, but you've created it by the avoidance of pain and move toward pleasure, and that process created the false self, which everybody thinks is so wonderful. All the world wondered after the beast. But there's no value system, there's no nothing that you have that's inherent. It's created by you, by your society. Does anybody believe me?
Well, you can see that whole process as fleeing when you're not pursued in a way, something that makes you go.
Well, yeah, it's the whole thing. That's what that is about. It's you flee at the drop at the sound of a dropping leaf. Because it's creating something. It's creating something about it brought you either pain or pleasure, and you're going toward one or the other. It doesn't matter whether it's the sound of a leaf or some stupid idea. I heard the bells ring.
I'm just thinking of, I don't know how to express it, like a constant awareness of the Father. And
you got to start with Adam. Yeah, you got to start with Adam. I mean, Adam, he was only aware of God. He had no capacity to be aware of himself. He couldn't have. He had no problem with lust. He had no problem with wanting more than he had. He was created innocent.
God saw that he was alone. He didn't see that he was alone.
Right. And he had to take him out of bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, so that it would be a picture of the bride and Christ. I hope you see. I don't know how to explain it any better than I've tried to do all these years. So. But life has to come down to that. Life has nothing to do with you, and until you see that, you still got to go do your thing. You know, the cliche that you've all heard so often is people come here for 1,000 reasons. They'll stay for only one. All righty. Anybody else? Michael, what's going on?
I was thinking that somebody else. You're the only one that explains this stuff. It needs to be somebody else.
I can't hear you.
You're the only one that explains this stuff. There needs to be someone else.
Maybe if you did.
How about you? That's what you have to see. No, not me or, just me. That's what each of you have to see. Not some your opinions about it or what's going on in you. Nobody really gives a shit what's going on in you. Oh, this is what I think about that. Nobody cares. It's either got to be truth or not truth. And if it's truth, it's not going to change with time. And so you have to, if you want to test it, push it to the extremes. If what you're thinking or teaching or saying isn't true in every possible place and time and situation, it's not true. Picture yourself in the Circus of Rome or the Indonesian Christians that are being maimed, or in Sudan, or if what you're saying or thinking is true, then it has to meet that standard. It can't change with any time or place or circumstance. Why waste your time thinking about stuff that changes with time? What you're doing is you're still in the process of praying. You're praying to the stupid God, yourself. And trying to cause the universe to be molded into your image. Words have power. We have to see it before you can achieve it. Well, that's just horse shit. That's just sorcery of the worst kind. and yet it's being taught in the name of God. But it's the only reason it's being taught in the name of God is to show you what you do.
Most of those guys concentrate and have whole books about blessings part of those fields, you know. And you know, you're not going to be the tail, you're going to be the head. And, all, you know, so, and they just dismiss that whole other person thing, don't even try and figure out what it's even talking about, because they just want to murmur it.
Well, you remember, it's two mountains. It's Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. I don't want to go through all that. Never mind.
That's for another thing.
Please, please, please. All you have to do is if you say you're a truth seeker, then really do it. Don't just dance around the edges. Oh, I'm a truth seeker. I'm sincere. Gary used to get so mad at me when I made fun of him for being a seeker of truth. There's a whole menu of. All righty. Would you take it, big guy, please?